I want to greet everyone affectionately for this year's Kirtan course, which officially starts with this first session called Entering the Kirtan course. We will have today quite a good work ahead of us. We will be able to understand a little bit what we are teaching in this course, and we will prepare ourselves spiritually in order to be real treasure hunters in the course. We will form a sankalpa, which is an ancient tradition which is done before any spiritual effort. Sankalpa will focus our energies, our mental and spiritual energies, on the goal which we are set to achieve during this Kirtan course. I would like to start by asking Manu, who has been the organizer together with Dina Dayal, and who has put this Kirtan course together. Last year we had the start, the premier course, the startup program. And I'm extremely happy that we can continue with this course this year in all earnestness and with the experience of last year. So it's good if Manu gives a few words of greetings to us and explains a little bit the background of the Kirtan course, so then we can focus and tune in. But I'm so happy to see you, really, so happy. Haripol.
I was not prepared to give a speech, so please bear with me. I would, of course, would like to thank once again Sachin and Maharaj for kindly accepting to come here to Radish, but not only that, but to be the main spiritual guide behind the Kirtan course, because also without him, he's always great at giving flowers to other people and making them look wonderful, but the reality is without his input and without his feedback and desire to push this course forward, we would not be having it, especially not for a second year. So I would like to thank him for giving us, especially those that are organizing this program, the courage and the will and the strength to push it forward and to do, at least as far as I can say and as far as I've seen, especially from last year, a wonderful service, you know, for the movement and for the people within this world. So thank you, Maharaj, for once again being here with us, and we look forward to your association this week. So I don't think I have actually met most of you. I don't actually know 100% who are students who isn't yet. And I would like to apologize. You'll get used to seeing me run a lot around the place, and but please, especially the students, if you have ever anything you have a question about, or there's anything that's in your mind that you have a doubt or you want to, you know, speak of something, never hesitate to approach me, and I'll always make some time for you. And it's my duty and my desire to make sure that you have a wonderful 2 months over here, a productive 2 months, and that you leave with, you know, a lot of wonderful things that are hankered in your heart, so that you always have some portion of you that still resides here in Radish for the upcoming years in your lives.
Wonderful.
So, additionally, yes, like Maharaj mentioned, this is the second year. Our first year was a very interesting experience in many ways, in the sense that the teachers, the organizers, and the 10 students that came to this course had absolutely no clue how this was going to go. But somehow we saw, literally speaking, from the first day that Krishna so kindly and so wonderfully arranged everything, because The students that came forward were perfect in all ways, although they might have been very different one from another. They were just such wonderful persons to have here. And I'm not talking just, oh, they were amazing devotees. No, on quite the contrary, we had particularly one person who had literally just stopped smoking and drinking the day before joining the Kirtan course. And his transformation during the 2 months was something to behold for everyone that was there. And he was such an incredible person to be around, and it was so impressive to see Krishna's work in changing someone from, you know, a core which was having a lot of difficulties to a core which became very spiritually strong and very spiritually dedicated, to the point that he didn't even wait till the last 3 days, I think, of the course finished to already go on the first flight to Vrindavan, where he stayed, I believe it was for 4 or 5 months, and was doing a wonderful service there, you know, as well as learning further kirtan, because he was very dedicated to that. So there's 9 other examples, of course, from the last year, but his was maybe most prominent, and it definitely was something which just showed us that, yes, we're on the right track. We're definitely trying to do something which, you know, Krishna is pleased, especially when you see such a transformation in someone. And so it was, of course, the most obvious thing that we wanted to do this again, and we would like this program to grow, not just in numbers, but of course in quality, and in bringing people to really become, you know, dedicated to the holy name, to kirtan, and to be able eventually to share it with others and make it a wonderful experience for everyone else they come across. And so what more wonderful than to see that for the second year we have 18 students, which is really our maximum capacity, and we actually had quite maybe several more people that were ready to again jump on a flight to be here, but we had to say no, because we cannot, we won't be taking bigger numbers, because we want, of course, the quality to be there, and for the quality to be there, we need to be able to personally give enough time to all of you that are here. So we told them, sign up for 2016, and in the meantime, those that are here, they're fortunate, and I'm sure, and I'm very hopeful that you will have a wonderful experience, and that you will really take in everything that is particularly shared by our wonderful senior devotees and guests that will be coming throughout both months, and from our resident teachers that will be here for the 2 months that will be teaching the practical courses and elements. And really, if you haven't yet seen a full schedule, but if you know what's coming for you, you will be like, whoa, this is really too much, this is too much, but better there be too much than not enough. And so then at least you have a choice to take in what you can and what you will be able to. And so yeah, please, on behalf also of the Radhish devotees, I would like to welcome all of you. And again, if there's anything I can do, feel free to approach me. And let's do some wonderful kirtans for the next 2 months, and continuously bring it forward also thereafter until our last breath one day. That would be wonderful. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you.
Superficial in their life and will not live their life out with their full potential. So therefore, since time immemorial, people have left their old life, their comfort zones, their ordinary days, and gone to holy places on retreat with the hope to make new discoveries in their lives. This is done in all traditions. People in India are known to walk north and visit the four holy places at the banks of Mother Ganga. Others are visiting Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, Mayapur, and still others go south to Ranganath. But also we have Christian places of pilgrimage. They go to the sacred river Jordan. They hope to one day go into the promised town Jerusalem and see the wall where you can speak to God. Going on pilgrimage is there in Islam where people go to Mecca. It is there in the Aboriginal religion, and they go like I did last year to Mount Warning. The whole idea is that you go and retreat, you leave the old life behind and enter into a zone, so to say, or place, which is called, it's a difficult word for you, a liminal space. Liminal space is an in-between space. You are not yet, you are no longer in your old life, in your old space, but you have not yet reached the new. In our philosophy, this is called the stage of sadhana dasa. Sadhana dasa is a state between the old life and the discovery of the new life, the love of Godhead, the highly exalted state. It's the state where you do, where you live in a practice, you make a practice, which then you hope will transform your life so that a layer turns into gold, or an ordinary soul becomes an vacant soul. Who is fully developed in our tradition in Krishna consciousness. So if you want to go into this space,
the space of spiritual practice, you do need to make a few things in your life, a few adjustments. One is you must absolutely limit your old habits and be ready to, at least for some time, take on a new life. For this you must separate yourself, I'm saying it again, from your old habits, your old life. And I really request you that wonderful students for the Kirtan course, and also my audience who sees me live on broadcast, here's a statement: you are being broadcast live. Smile. So for all of you either who are present here in the temple room or who are there in the broadcasting situation, it's very important for me to say that if you want this Kirtan course to really change your life, you will need to leave your old comfort zone, your old space, your thought space, your activities, and take it to a life where you really practice spiritual life in seriousness. Therefore, I request you to take part in all the sessions which are offered. We will soon run you through our program, which is, as Manu has rightly said, quite full, but it's good. It's good. We want to elevate our lives. We want to do something new in order to make new discoveries. I want to give you an example where I really need to say this. It was when I came for the first time to Australia. And I was giving a lecture, the first lecture, was called Entering the Retreat, and at 7 o'clock sharp, everyone left. I thought, maybe my English is not satisfactory, or so why has everyone left? You know, it's it makes you quite insecure when you talk to an audience and everyone gets up and leaves. Good night, Australia. Very perplexed. And then at 7:30, everyone was back on their seats. That is, where are you? And they said, Maharaj, 7 o'clock is dinner time in Australia. So they were all out eating the dinners, the energy muesli bars or whatever, and then they came and I said, it's not going to work. We are going on retreat and we have to commit to the spiritual experience. If you're with half of your leg here and the other leg is in your old life, I mean, be here now, you know, come on the board. I said this to them and they were very kind to me, but I was also kind to them. I made sure they had that dinner a little later, but they all at once at the end of the program. So I just wanted to say to you, welcome to Radha Desh. Please make this stay all it can become for you. Be a little bored. You have left your towns, but have you left your old life? Huh? It's not enough to leave your towns. It is necessary for you to make a commitment so that you can learn the foremost of all spiritual practices, which will give you love of God After a few short days, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, commit yourself to these things. I want to speak about commitment a little later when we do a Sankalpa exercise. Here I want to just now introduce the subject of this course. The Kirtan course will focus exclusively on the most powerful practice to attain full God realization. We will have one guidebook, it's Harinam Chintamani, and there Haridas Thakur, a great saint, the Namacharya of chanting the holy name, says, nothing is like the holy name in this world of birth and death. The holy name is the greatest treasure in Lord Krishna's treasure house. Imagine, God has a treasure house with many treasures made of gold, made of touchstone, made of liquid nectar, made of love. And amongst all these treasures in this treasure house, there is one treasure he's ready to share with you in this world. It's the holy name. And now, how to cultivate the practice of the holy name in the best possible way will be taught in this Kirtan course. I personally believe when you teach such an important subject matter, you should teach it on the basis of Shastra, of scripture, not on the basis of new invention or just on the basis of experience. And we have taken great trouble, really, now over a few years to ourselves try to learn the Harinam Chintamani, and as much as we have understood this powerful guidebook, we are dedicated to teach this here. When you can learn to relate properly to this greatest treasure in Krishna's treasure house, what you will actually do is you will re-establish your lost relationship to Krishna or to God. Really, it's all about this. Krishna has come into this material world in the form of this great treasure, the holy name, to do what? To help us come in contact with him and establish our relationship with him again. During this Kirtan course, we will teach you the Kirtan of the holy name and then equip you with tools that help you to do Kirtan at your home, in your town, in your temples, and so on. In other words, we have two objects. We have the objects to learn Kirtan ourselves, and then to learn how to spread it for the benefit of others. See, you may say, I thought this is just for me, this Kirtan course. Now I learn, I will be told to spread this Kirtan, but I'm so shy that when someone looks at me, I disappear in the wall. I don't think I'm something like a Kirtan singer in public, and I'm not at all like a preacher or a missionary or a... But my dear devotees, you will see, once your heart becomes enthusiastic for Kirtan, and you have removed the obstacles which are there, then Kirtan will naturally come from your lips and the hearts and inspire others. And you will be an inspiration for others because the Holy Name will take you as an instrument, or will use you as an instrument. I have seen this with devotees who attended last year's Kirtan course. It was, in English you say, a motley crew. That's a difficult word for the non-English speaker. It means people who came from all parts of life. One of them, Manu, said he just came from the underground scene of Dortmund. Another came right from the stage as an actor. But another was just so shy that he would never open even his mouth in the presence of others. And they all came together. They didn't know each other, most probably much like all of you who don't know who's on this course. You will get to know quite soon. We will have an introduction session tomorrow. But everyone, no matter if they were a stage performer or a shy person from Latvia or Lithuania, I never know the difference here because it's up north, somewhere from here. They were really inspired by this, and I heard that they keep contact still with each other, and they also feel in their own circles of friends encouraged to present kirtan. I found a verse from Rupa Goswami which he wrote in his work The Small Nectar of Bhagavatam, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, where a little bit of the motto of our kirtan course is explained. It goes like this: O King, those who have taken birth in the human form of life in Kali Yuga are to be considered the most fortunate if they remember Krishna's holy names and also preach the glories of the holy names to others. They certainly have attained the goal of human life. The goal of human life is if you can remember to chant the holy names always, and if you can also give it out to others so that others will also become rich. Now, how to come to this state where you feel all obstacles to chanting the holy name with great determination and great taste have gone? But how to come to this stage needs a guide. You need a guide book, something which accompanies you from stage where you are to stage where you need to go next, to stage where you need to, which is the perfection of your journey. We have a great spiritual master in our tradition. His name is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is the spiritual master of the spiritual master of my spiritual master. In other words, three generations back. He had published at his time a magazine called Sajana Toshadi. That means that which satisfied the good people. And in the Sajana Toshani, he had written Krishna a little bit about his own attempts to spread the holy names. And I have made a summary of his writings so that you know it. What he did really is he created a revival movement where Chaitanya Bhakti came to the foreground of the spiritual scene in his country, Bengal. So he says, there. Many intellectuals, many Goswamis and Babajis, impersonalists, materialists, professional singers and theater players, became influenced by the movement of chanting the holy name, and they became very satisfied. There was something like, you know, you can call it like a spiritual revival movement in Bengal. Everywhere, devotees were seen singing and chanting the holy names of the Lord, reading devotional poesy, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur had composed, and reading in the scriptures. There was like, I don't know, if I want to find any analogy for this, it was not in terms of content, but in terms of spreading something which our generation experienced. There was a revival of music in our generation. All of a sudden, exciting groups like the Beatles came up, and before long, all of Europe were singing songs like Give Peace a Chance, and everywhere, you know, help, I need somebody for help. I'm just giving an example where numerical strength is illustrated. Everywhere, in all schools, in all clubs, in all discussions, music was the central theme and the idea of living a more free life, and so on and so forth, in a material way. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur created such a spiritual movement that everywhere, in the intellectual circles, amongst the singers, the Goswamis, the Brahmanas, and even the materialists, they came together for Hari Kirtan, for singing the names of Krishna. It was really very successful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says many, many devotional assemblies appeared in different cities and villages. There was a wave of enthusiasm for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pure teaching. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Kali Yuga seemed to again take over. Mayavadis, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Indian and foreign yogis, Sahajiyas, and many bowls, these are like the Rolling Stones of Bengal, many false acharyas came up and spread their teachings. As a result, sinful propensities and all kinds of unimaginable activities in the name of spirituality began to prosper. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that his heart began to shatter. He felt shattered in his heart seeing all this. So you can say by his effort, so to say, the ocean of material life had been pushed back and new land was gained. But then, after some time, the ocean came back in full force and swept the newly covered areas. And Bhaktivinoda said he felt shattered. He had opened a very, very powerful a movement which spread purity and Krishna consciousness in this time, but then everything came back to normal. And he said he remembered one verse at that time. The verse goes like this: the age of Kali is terrible, and the senses of the human beings are very powerful. Now the path of devotional service is full with millions of thorns. Where should I go? What shall I do? I'm completely helpless without the mercy of Gaura Chandra. So Lord Chaitanya, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, we have made inroads into Kali Yuga, but they have been covered with thorns again. No one goes the path of bhakti any longer. Now my only shelter is who? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the, for those who are new here in the Kirtan course, who are just learning Krishna consciousness, that's the most recent incarnation of Krishna who spread love of Godhead a little bit more than 520 years ago. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur remembered this merciful form of Krishna called Lord Gauranga and came in the year 1901. My God, that's more than 100 years back to the Puri is a town on the ocean, with the intention to stay there, take shelter at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and retire completely. It was there that he wrote many devotional works, one of them Harinam Chaitanya. But it is said that after some months with this program, he felt so ill that he had to return to Calcutta for when he lived out the rest of his days. So, this is an example of someone who goes on retreat. He leaves his own efforts, or he leaves aside what he did, and he goes with a very special intention, with a very special mission. I believe that going on retreat would be good for all of us who are half dead in their spiritual life. And I'm not saying all of us are half dead, but those of us who are not fully alive and fully enthusiastic, they need to do this. So, he purchased a small plot of land, built a small little hut near to Haridas Samadhi, and there you find it still there, a marble plaque on which he engraved his purpose of coming there. Am I clear? He went, made a little hut, and before the hut, he wrote what nowadays people call their mission statement. It was written in marble, so it was really important. This is what he wrote. You can still find that plaque. I have also seen, in order to remember the holy names and qualities of Krishna Murari, he who is known as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given up everything to come here to the land of Gauranga's pastimes, and he has taken refuge in this Bhakti Kutir, the cottage of devotion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was seen sometimes on the beach, and he said that at that time when he was chanting the holy name as his sole focus, something happened. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him and informed him to, at this moment, discontinue giving instruction to the people of his time. He said, they have so many material desires. What you tell them goes into one ear and then goes out the other ear. These instructions will not enter their hearts. But therefore I order you, my order to you is, live at this place where I kept my dear Haridas and where I loudly chanted the holy names of the Lord. You should constantly sing the holy names for the benefit of the fallen souls. As a result of your singing, the people will hear from you and their faith will develop, and then they will develop devotional service. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood, my mission has momentarily been stopped, But that is not a problem. What I will do now is, I will sit here, I will give my energy to the Holy Name, and by the power of the Holy Name, everything will happen. I remember my own spiritual master. He wrote once to his leading disciples, "Your meetings, your resolutions, your revolutions will produce no solutions. You should instead sing the Holy Name, and that will do everything." My point here is, I think all of us can see, when they are very honest in their life, "I have not yet obtained pure Krishna consciousness. My consciousness is still disturbed. I'm not yet in purified soul. Why not now try the transcendental solution? That is, take exclusive shelter at the Holy Name. Learn to do this, and then be newborn in some ways." I invite you, my dear devotees, friends, and skeptics
who have so kindly made time to come to the Kirtan course, to try this transcendental method and learn to chant in seriousness. Now, I know that those of you who are a little longer than 1 year in the movement think they know already everything and it didn't work for them. I know that the older you are, the less, very often you are skeptical. Will this hold true? Will this work also for me? Or is it just a statement in the scriptures? I know this because I have discussions with all of you who come to me in private and say to me what you think about it. But I really wish to inspire you to try again to learn to chant the Holy Name with knowledge and with a sense of Krishna consciousness. And I do guarantee you that you will make breakthrough experiences in your spiritual life. It is not my guarantee. It is who am I? It's not anything of importance. But it is given in this work of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He writes there that after, when you do this, what it is you will learn, then you will for sure, after a few days, experience love of God at the future. That's it. So, I would like to now become a little bit practical. I mean, we have here two types of devotees. One is our senior devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness and who live in Radha Desh, and the other group are guests, devotees who came particularly and only and exclusively to attend the Kirtan course. We will try to serve both of these communities of devotees. During the morning time, we will have morning lectures. We call them all discovery lectures, because we try to arrange them in such a way that a new point is drawn out. Mostly one point, if not many points. And then after the discovery lecture, there is breakfast. And then after breakfast, the devotees in the Radha Desh community will do their various services throughout the day. And at 10:30, the devotees who only have come to the Kirtan retreat, the Kirtan course, I should say, they will have a workshop, a very enlivening workshop with a lot of interaction and practice and so on. And
They will also have a guided japa session each afternoon. Gaura Hari will guide this like he did last year. And then we will all meet, means kirtan course participants and devotees from the community if they have time, so on, for an enlivening evening program where we hear lessons from the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and sing also a lot of the Hare Krishna mantra. The times where this will take place will be made known to you. We will have a schedule posted here in the temple room. But before entering the kirtan for this evening, I want to guide you into a sankalpa ceremony. I want to request that the devotees who are in the kirtan course will do the exercise amongst themselves, and the Radhadesh devotees or the devotees who are not participating in the kirtan course, they will just take part in the kirtan and support and pray for the devotees who will enter the full-fledged kirtan course. There is something which we need to know when we want to make an improvement in our life. This is called a sankalpa. Sankalpa means an inner orientation or a declaration of intent. A sankalpa is a very powerful and creative force which you can evoke, which will guide your thoughts, your feelings, and your behavior. I want to make it simple. Let me say, I have come here to Radhadesh to sample all the preparations in the Radhadesh bakery. starting tomorrow. Then, my time here in Radhadesh, with such an intention, will be spread eating all the different products of the bakery and digesting them and so on. But that is my, and maybe try to find out the recipes. I will be focused on this. I have come to really attend all the Mangal Aratis, the auspicious early morning Aratis, starting at 4:30, I believe. Then I will make that the focus. Many times devotees who do this feel tired in the morning and sleep during the lectures. But it's a very good program when you go early to bed and so on. But this is your main focus. And your main focus is to come to the kirtan course and come to each one of the sessions. You will participate in the individual sessions and you will time yourself in such a way that you can take part in everything, including also the Mangal Arati and whatever. What I want to say is when you focus your intention, that intention will inform your thoughts, your feelings, and ultimately your behavior. You will be different than the one who is just the bakery, the bakery freak. So, by the way, the bakery is one of the great achievements of the Radhadesh community. I think you understand what I would say. Your intention in life informs your thoughts, your feelings, and your behavior. And here comes the secret. No one has control over this intention except one person. That's you. Krishna could, in theory, take over your intention, but he doesn't do it because he
has equipped all of us with a free will. And he allows those who turn against him to become happy materially. And he also allows those and supplies those who turn towards him to become successful in their intention. So my point here is your sankalpa or your inner orientation is something which only you and you alone can form. If you go into a practice or into a life without an intention, you will most probably be blown by the wind here and there. The moment you set your intention, the whole universe shudders and runs to your aid. The moment someone is clear of what he wants, the Lord supplies. This is Nitya Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bhavunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. I believe the greatest problem in our modern times is distraction. And distraction leads us to the point where we don't really know what is our inner intention, what we really want, what we really wish to do. I have a godbrother, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. He says, we live in an age with mass distraction weapons. Not distraction weapons, distraction weapons. One thing which I need to say before we do this exercise where you will try to find your sankalpa is that there is a difference between the intention to know and the intention to learn. When I have the intention to know, I will just assimilate more information. It's something which is theoretical. But if I have the intention to learn something, then that will bring about a change in my life. I will learn something new. It's a very subtle point. There's a difference between I want to know Krishna consciousness and I want to practice Krishna consciousness. Learn to practice Krishna consciousness. So I want to really say, please switch your attention to, I really want to learn to chant Hare Krishna properly so that the promised results will come. But I want to end before I start here with the exercise. You know, I often have to say this, when we go on retreat or when we try to take a course, it's not that we can make anything happen. We should not be so much in the achiever mode as we are to get into the receiver mode. Don't try to take control over your spiritual experience. Spiritual experience is always given by the Lord. And He is the one who gives you what you need. So, good. Are you ready?
Yes.
Gauri Rasaraj, ready?
power that the name of Krishna possesses. My heart constantly burns the fire of worldly desires. Tell me, is my heart not like a desert which is scorched by the rays of the sun? Oh, holy names, may you enter the core of my heart, through the holes of my ears, you shower unparalleled nectar upon my soul. O holy name, you speak from within my heart to me, and then you move onto the tip of my tongue and constantly dance on my tongue in the form of transcendental sound. My throat becomes choked up. My body shivers again and again, and my feet cannot remain still. Rivers of tears flow from my eyes. Perspiration completely soaks my body. All my skin thrills with raptures, and my hair stands on end. My complexion turns pale and becomes discolored. My mind grows faint. I begin to experience devastation, and my entire body is shattered in a flood of ecstatic emotions. Oh, holy name. You bring such ecstasy to my dry heart. You shower my heart with the liquid nectar, and you drown me in the ocean of divine love of God. Oh, my dear friend, oh, holy name, you have made me truly ecstatic. And you have stolen away my mind and all my resources. Such is the behavior of them from whom I have taken shelter. I am not capable of describing to you all of this. The holy name of Krishna is independent, and thus he acts on his own sweet will. In whatever way he becomes happy, that is also my way of happiness. The holy name is the bud of the flower of divine love. And he is the very abode of astonishing mellows. Such is the power that he manifests, that when the holy name starts to blossom a little further, it reveals Krishna's own divine form and qualities. Thus my heart is stolen and taken directly to Krishna. When the flower of the holy name blossoms fully, it takes me to Goloka Vrindavan, and there the name reveals to me his own loving pastimes. This name gives to me my own eternal spiritual body. It keeps me right next to Krishna's side, and it completely takes away everything which is related to this illusory material existence. The name of Krishna is a Naam Chintamani, a transcendental touchstone, a mine of all devotional mellows.
It is eternally liberated and the embodiment of your taste. When all the obstacles to the pure chanting of the holy name are taken away and destroyed, then my happiness will know its true awakening. My dear devotees, I want you now to turn to your neighbor or to your notebook. Share with the neighbor. Let's be a little interactive. When you are sharing it with your notebook usually doesn't say things back to you. So find yourself a neighbor, and then I have some questions for you to discuss with your neighbor.
I'm serious.
You found a neighbor?
Looking for.
You can also join groups of three.
Okay.
Who has not yet found a neighbor? Please look around and maybe, yes, please join them. So, Lucy, you found a neighbor? Good. The question which I wish you to discuss now, please listen. Share what the holy name means for you at this present moment. In other words, what is your present relationship to the holy name? It's a thought-reducing question, no? This is a serious question. What is your present relationship to the holy name? Like, when I wake up in the morning, I know the first person I want to see is the holy name. Or what is the relationship?
Kirtan
or
Japa,
doesn't it? Holy name. Please start now. Please listen. What would you like your relationship to the holy name to be in, what can you concretely do during this week to close the gap between what your relationship is now and what you want it to be? Am I clear?
Yes.
Should I say it again? Your relationship with the holy name is this, 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 and the other thing. Question number one. What would you like your relationship to be? And second question. What can you concretely, means practically, do during this week to achieve this end? Please start now. Because this will be your survival. So, I want to now request all of the participants of the Ketan course to go to the in front of the altar. We have this space for you. And pray to the deities so that they will be able to pronounce their sankalpa. We will at this stage not offer lights. Just please come forward to the altar and pray that Lord Krishna will empower you so that your goal in coming here and creating a relationship to the holy name, which is more ideal, will be fulfilled. And the devotees in the community, they should bless the young devotees, young participants of the Kirtan course. They should pray that the desires of these young, of these students,
Bhaktivedanta participants will be fulfilled. I just wanted to see now if you have some questions to ask which you would like to ask, but before you do so, let me just give you a summary of what this presentation was all about. It was called Entering the Canon Course. I wanted to describe to you a little bit what is the purpose of the Kirtan course. That is to equip you with tools and knowledge and determination to chant properly the holy name, and to then make you, empower you, or let me say, bring you to a level where you can actually engage in Kirtan yourself with some reasonable amount of mastery over the instruments. I wanted to also set a little bit the mood by telling you how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who compiled the guidebook, which I will use for the first week of this Kirtan course, the Harinam Chaitanya, how Bhaktivinoda Thakur came about, how this guidebook came about. It was really he received an order to take complete shelter in the chanting of the holy name, and that would take care of everything, something which he did and followed. And at the end, I wanted to explain to you a little bit of Hare Krishna. I can see some garland is coming from today. I wanted to explain to you a little bit. Wow, this is for me.
I can guess a little bit at you.
Wow. You come from the airport, thought you'd be visited by so much flying, and then you get a garland, and your life is all right. I wanted to say that at the end, in the end part of my presentation, I wanted to help you a little bit to come to your sankalpa, to your inner orientation or inner intention. I asked you two questions which you shared with other participants. The first question was, what is your present relationship to the holy name, and the second was, what would you like your relationship to be, and what could you do in this 1 week? And we will again visit in 1 week all of you. We will see what your relationship is then to the holy name, and we will then assist you in a somewhat more priestly sankalpa ceremony, that is to form a sankalpa for the rest of the time which you spend here in Radhadesh on the Kirtan course. So that was what I wanted to present to you this evening. I would like to now open the forum for questions which you may have at this stage. And then I will help you a little bit to orient yourself by telling you something about the schedule and so on. But thank you for participating. Such a good atmosphere you created. My God. Hare Krishna. Any questions? On the holy name or on the course, please feel free to ask. Not all at once.
Yes, I
go to Hari this one, please.
Yes. I was wondering when we had our exchange and discussion, the holy name is like one person, but the way to perceive him through japa or through kirtan seems to be almost like another person. It seems like the holy name is a person, but the approach from japa or kirtan seems to be quite different according to the different devotees. And I was wondering, why is it like this, that if the holy name is a person, we we tend to like him in some circumstance and like him a little less in another circumstance.
Japa is meditative chanting is definitely another approach to the holy name than kirtan. Jiva Goswami writes in the Bhakti Sandarbha in one section there, he deals with kirtan. What is the speciality of kirtan in which singles it out is even more effective than japa. Jiva Goswami says, kirtan, this is glorification of Krishna done with many, is even more powerful than glorification done alone. Here he speaks either of kirtan or japa done alone, because it can create such extraordinary devotional feelings, the kirtan. So that is the speciality of kirtan. It creates emotions, creates devotional feelings. And, you know, there's something about us human beings. We value that most which is capable of awakening emotions in us. Something where we feel indifferent is not valued very much. Let us give a simple example of food preparation. When there is a food preparation which leaves you indifferent, you will show a different emotional response than when there is a food preparation which totally arises spontaneous dancing and shouting and party board. For instance, I have heard that many of us appreciate pizza very much, and when we go like when we pizza, we feel such a good emotional response. Dancing is there, wow, pizza today, pizza. High anticipation, reddening of the face color, and so on. And that we appreciate this very much. But a preparation like potatoes without salt, you know, that is not awakening an emotional response in us. Now think of a person. You know, you may have a very good friend, and when you sit together with that friend, you somehow access in your discussions deep thoughts and deep feelings and so on, because such things are awakened in the presence of this friend. You will value that friend more than a person with whom you can just talk, okay, let's sweep the floor, and after sweeping the floor, we can clean the broom, and then we can do something else, you know. We always value that person or that thing which awakens emotion in us, and we want to stay with this. So in kirtan, because extraordinary devotional feelings are easier to come about, many of us value kirtan more than japa, where it is difficult for us to concentrate, where it is difficult to do. I have seen a lot of this in my life and in the life of devotees. So if you want to improve your japa, you need to do something which helps you to arise positive emotions in you towards japa. And I will teach during this retreat something
from thinking from Bhakti no Thakur's Harinam Chintamani, how to awaken positive emotions during japa and kirtan. But it's easier to do so during kirtan. Therefore, Jiva Goswami says, kirtan above all other practices with the holy name is glorified because it arises these wonderful emotions. Hare Krishna. Yes?
Thank you.
I know, and said this many times, Trajan, in one Gurukul in India, the teachers would punish their misbehaved students with two extra rounds of japa. because for them, the students, japa was so much associated with punishment that it arose negative emotions. In spiritual practice, Gaurahari, you have to come to the point where the devotional feelings are awakened towards Krishna and the practice. Otherwise, you will only struggle. This is very important. Rupa Goswami speaks about bhakti as a state of both as activities and the state of emotional feelings of the bhakti bhava, which both is to be there. It's the same person, but because of the I believe it's not about, you know, the emotions are different because of the practice, not because of the person. Mm-hmm. There is one associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name is Murari Gupta. He used to treat the material illnesses and the spiritual illnesses of the patients who sought his advice. So once, this Murari Gupta, you must know, was a devotee on a very high level of Krishna consciousness, and even the smallest thing which would remind him of Krishna would sometimes arise the high states of devotional emotions in him. So once Murari Gupta was called to the king of Bengal. He was sitting there on a throne, and Murari Gupta was taking the pulse diagnosis. When he saw that left and right to the king, there were servants who moved fans, peacock feathers, left and right, you know, like give them a fresh breeze. So when Murari Gupta saw this, he was reminded of the peacock feather ornament of Lord Krishna, which he wears. And before his very eyes, the eyes of the heart, he saw the beautiful face of Shyama Sundar Krishna, and his eyes and his surprising smile and everything. He saw that in the eyes of his heart. And do you know what, Gaurahari? He was so much moved that he lost his pulse diagnosing abilities, and he was thrown into fits of ecstasy and fell down from the throne. You know, he had to climb up the stairs. So pulse diagnosis, but he could not keep his composure. He fell down and rolled down the steps. The king, you know, this is not what the behavior you expect from your doctor. He was calling out, "Save me, save me!" And the king was thinking, this is maybe a show of disrespect. Oh,
what are you doing? He said.
Murari Gupta had to hide that he was actually overwhelmed with feeling of love for Lord Krishna. He couldn't say that because the king was a Muslim and a Hindu hater. So he said, I have some minor case of epilepsy. It's almost over, but it sometimes comes in and I come to, I'm quite alright, but sometimes it just comes in. Maybe because I was so awed by the greatness of your smile that I lost my control and epilepsy took over. He gave some mild excuse. But the idea here is that when a devotee is very exalted, he will remember Krishna everywhere. Even one holy name in the devotee is in ecstasy. What to speak of a peacock feather, and so on. But when the devotee is not yet so advanced like most of us are, then our taste is dependent, Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, on the excellence which surrounds this practice. And there's a very beautiful Kirtan singer who sings like Enrico Caruso, that's an opera singer who has died already. Enrico Caruso singing was enough to make a glass splinter and fall down. It's extremely powerful. The lion of opera singers. So if such a Kirtan singer is available, we go, very good. But then there is a less accomplished singer, we are not so inspired. Is it because of Krishna? No, Lord Hari. It's because of external melodies, singing, and so on. So with japa also. But this doesn't mean we should despair. It just means we should get our japa and kirtan together so that we can chant in a way where good emotions are arising. Good. Any other question? Yes, Umesh.
I heard that there is like 108 melodies that Radha Maharaj found that are from the spiritual world. I don't know if that's a rumor. But are there melodies that we know of here in the material world that actually come from the spiritual world?
Do we know of melodies in this world which come from the spiritual world? I know what is your question, but I could do a trick. I could say, what do you consider the spiritual world, and divert the question somewhere else, but I don't want to do this. I know what you mean. Vrindavan melodies at the time of Lord Krishna. We know of ragas and raginis, but we don't know if they are from Goloka Vrindavan. We know the holy name has come from Goloka Vrindavan, but the melodies, to my knowledge, the thing is, what is from that dimension, what is from that land, the Goloka Vrindavan land, is not, we can't perceive that with our material senses as of yet. It is not possible to see the form of the Lord and to hear the sounds of the spiritual world with these present senses. But what does happen is
that the essence of the holy name, or the holy name itself, travels in a beautiful melody, which we can perceive as being beautiful, and then the essence can strike us, even in the material world, and awaken us spiritually. And I think this may be behind the statement that a devotee knows melodies which come from the spiritual world. I think the statement is would be more accurate that this devotee is a very accomplished devotee, and when he chants, I feel that the essence of the holy name enlivens my soul. I believe this is a more accurate statement of the experience. Yes, there is in Vrindavan, everywhere on the boards you see 108 melodies, and the tapes are available for purchase. Yes, I do know that this production of tapes is not associated with this holiness of Maharaj. See, the melody is sugar, and the holy name is inside, like a drop of very good Ayurvedic medicine. So, because we may not swallow the medicine without the melodies, therefore the melodies are there. Some melodies are working very well. And there are accomplished Geta leaders who pick such melodies where they can see always an effect is that the devotees can concentrate on the holy names better. But you know, melodies are necessary for us, but good melodies are necessary. But the idea is really the chanting of the holy name. I know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could not sing, hold any melody. His voice was going like a roller coaster. You know, he was not keeping the tone. Mm-hmm. But his kirtan would be very, very ecstatic and unusual. There is a long discussion all this in our tradition. Should there be proper melodies, or is the Krishna consciousness more important? And we will deal with this discussion in the Kena course. So, here, before we expect the ladies to...
10 tonight.
So, I thought what we should do is... I will now just explain a few details regarding our schedule, and then we will just do kirtan so that we can greet the deities and say goodbye to them. Today is also Ekadasi. We want to sing more and talk less. So in the morning, my dear devotees, if you are rested enough, it is very good if you can attend the Mangal Aarti at 4:30. But if you have not rested enough, if you need to take a little, take it a little slowly at the beginning, I can understand. I was doing service up to 1 o'clock in the night yesterday, so that I could come at 1 o'clock in the morning today. So then you can please come for the deity greeting at 7:15. Is this correct? 7:15. I will say we should ideally come earlier, also for the japa time here, but last possibility, we should catch 7:15. Afterwards, there is the morning discovery lecture. I will ask you at the end of August to reflect about what you have heard, so then you will have to, that is also part of the Kirtan course. Then we will have breakfast and a little pause for digestion, japa, any other activities, and then at 10:30 we will have a quite long workshop with a few courses from 10:30 to 1:30. Then there will be noon prasadam. 1:30, 2 o'clock we will start to eat like anything. I mean, okay, getting a little tired. We will eat nicely. And then there will be a pause for you, because we will have reading assignments which you will have to do in this pause. We will give you texts to read and to study, do different tasks. And then Gaura Hari will start his japa, guided japa session from when was it again? 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, is it correct? 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. You can all sit together and learn. And it will be much easier for you to chant and complete your rounds. And then after 6 o'clock is again a small pause. 7:30, and then there is the Aarti at 7 o'clock, and 7:30 is our evening session. Then there will be lessons from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and also ample practical kirtan. There will be lots of kirtan. This is the plan. What you need to know for this evening to take with you is simple. See you latest at 7:15. Latest. And any time we see you before, will be as joy for our eyes and heart. Good. So what we will do now is we will sit now and do kirtan here. This thing, it is done in a card scene. And when the daisy curtain opens, we will have little lamps for all of you to offer to Radha Gopinath, so that you can establish once again your relationship to these beautiful deities and continue to pray that your stay here will provide you with an upliftment in your Krishna consciousness. Is this clear? Yes, Amit?
I heard from Dina Dayal Prabhu that some of the sessions are going to be in the temple room.
Oh, good, good. The venue is morning classes always here, and the evening classes. Classes are here, evening classes and kirtans are here. But the workshops are in the community hall. It's in
the main classroom.
In the main classroom.
If you want, for all the students, we can meet at 10:15. Just here in the reception of the castle, so at least the first day we can bring them all there. It's very cool.
Good. And Gaura Hari's japa sessions will be...
Usually we will do it outside, next, a little bit aside from the prasadam tent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alright, then you will see Gaura Hari. Workshop next to the prasadam tent.
I think a little,
little down,
little down,
so that you're in a secluded area. Wonderful, yeah. I'm glad to also come, because sometimes when we are going for courses or retreats, our time is not so much there for the japa, and this is a very good option. Fine. Any other thing? I was whispering to Prashant. How can I talk to that? Today is Ekadasi. Ekadasi is a very special day, as you know. And it's best really to sing sit with devotees and sing and chant. We go through this now. So thank you very much, and please stay until the baby's door is open so that we can offer our love and pray for the mercy of Radha Gopinath, so that this will give you all that thing which you have come in this human form of life for. See, all of you are special souls, because you would not have taken the Krishna consciousness if you would not have been an extraordinary person. After all, the devotees of Krishna in this world are rare to find, and you feel attraction to them. So I think you all are on an evolutionary journey through the different life forms, where you are really desiring to come close to Krishna. And I'm so happy that we can have this kid, of course, really so happy, because it offers us an ability, a frame, which we usually don't have in our life, to go deep into the chanting of the holy name. I think tomorrow we will give the students their own books of Harinam Chintamani. When you see this book, it's like meeting an old friend. Hare Krishna.
All right, should we sing?
I will sit with all of you. I just read today something very nice from the Ramayana. See, Krishna consciousness always means to share. And once, when the two bards and singers, Lava and Kush, came to the court of Lord Rama, they offered to sing the Ramayana in the presence of the Lord. Lava and Kush were actually the twin sons of Ram. But because Ram's wife Sita had given birth to these two sons of Ram in the forest, Ram had never seen them. Nor had the twins ever seen Lord Ram. The twins, Lava and Kush, had learned from Valmiki, who was the head of the ashram where Mother Sita had given birth to these two twins. They had learned the amazing story of Rama. They had been with the mother, Sita. Mother had reared them in the forest. They were beautiful, they were dressed in deer skin. And they had learned to sing this story of Ram, this Ramayana. They had gone through the whole country of Ayodhya without knowing that their father was Ram. So once they sang the Ramayana, a great saint, and the saint blessed them, he said, one day you will sing this song for your father. Who's our father? Who's our father? After that, you will get to know. So now, Lava and Kush, the two singers of Ramayana, had come to the court of Ram, and they had started their evening performance of singing the Ramayana. And all the people who were there, this huge court, listening to these two little boys who came out of the forest and who played the veena, they were just so enchanted. They listened to them, and they were just forgetting everything else. Lord Rama was listening to these two from up. He was on a throne. The throne was 18 steps high. It was very high. The throne was like you know, imagine the throne would start at the ceiling of this temple, and there was just a big staircase like this. So Ram was hearing these two forest-dwelling young saints, singing the Ramayana. He was moved. Every one of his subjects looked and loved and cushioned. They had tears in their eyes. Ram heard his own story. You know what he did? He took his cloth and he covered his garland. And with his hand, he covered his jewels. And then he stepped down from the throne to sit with all his subjects and to relish the Ramayana. And at the end of the Ramayana, when the boy said, this moving story, how Ram, how the king had asked his wife Sita to leave him and give birth to them, their sons, in the forest because of BBC network, you know, some bad story which was made up, you know. At the very end, it became clear to him that these are my sons. They're singing the story of my life. They don't even know that I'm their father. It was a very emotional thing, but what I want to say is Ram felt so much moved that he sat with his subjects. It is said that when there is kirtan by devotees of Krishna in this world, the Lord becomes so moved that he also sits where the kirtan of the holy names is going on. He says this in the scriptures that I'm not in my kingdom of God. I'm also not in the hearts of the devotees. I'm there. I'm going there. And I stay there where my devotees sing my kirtan. So we will try to sing with some little amount of whatever amount of devotion we have, but we cannot sit here. We have to sit with everyone. Kirtan Kaur ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai, Govinda Sachinananda Maharaj ki Jai. Thank you.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you. Swami Maharaja, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai, Srimad Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol, all glories to the assembly bodies, all glories to the assembly bodies, all glories to the assembly bodies, all glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
This is your first session of the Kirtan course. Now we will not lose many more words. But I wish you a very restful night. For some of us, it's the first night in this holy place. And may you have get some energy back from the travels which you have spent. You spent a lot of energy. And I hope to see you all tomorrow morning in good spirits with your enthusiastic participation in our first full day of the Kirtan retreat. Have a wonderful good night and Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.